If you would, find a scripture in John chapter 10, verses 27 and 28. I love these passages personally. It says, "My sheep hear my voice, I know them." Incredible line there, "I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish ever. No one will snatch them out of my hand." Let's pray together. Father, help me to be a plain preacher today, so plain that a child would understand me. Help me to be in tune to your Holy Spirit. Any word of knowledge you give to me to speak to a person or their situation, Lord, if you prompt me with it, I want to be obedient to speak to it. Help me to remember and then also to know that I'm under a great judgment, a strict judgment, because I'm a teacher of your word. And I accept my place in rightly dividing it. It's in the name of Jesus that I pray, his name that I preach. Amen. You can be seated. It's good to see you all this morning. As we look at this verse, I want to ask a couple questions with you. One is, are you asking Jesus to follow you? Or are you realizing he has called you to follow him? If we're not careful, the way we think and we live our life could be that I'm living my life and I'm asking Jesus to bless me, when the truth of it is, he has asked me to follow him, to join him on his journey, his mission, the mission of Jesus, the mission of the church, and then the blessing is there anyway. It's already even built into that. So some of us are living our life and asking the Lord to bless it, when the reality is we hear him, we know his voice, he knows us, and we follow him. Is going to be a theme that you're going to be hearing all through 2018 about following Jesus. 2018 is going to be a year of teaching kingdom principles, kingdom life, kingdom investment, what that looks like. I'm excited. Listen, I love Drew Causey. Like a son. I love his wife, Catherine. I love their boys. But the Lord has called them on, and we have sent them. And as we send them, we are still trying to bless them, even in their transition. And we'll continue to do that. But I'm excited. You need to know that I'm excited about what this future holds for us. I don't say that just trying to encourage you falsely. I really am excited. There are a lot of things that I think we're going to do. Leadership that the Lord has been developing in people's lives are going to emerge. I'm excited about that. See how it fits into the mission of Jesus, the mission of the church. I'm pretty giddy about it. Now, when you talk about Drew and Catherine leaving, I can get sad. You talk about, well, let's look at 2018. I can get excited about it. I'm really excited about it. I am now Logan's still doing what he's doing, and he's stepping up to the plate. And I told him, I said, "Logan, now it's time for me to start pouring into you." And I don't know that he's as excited about it as you are. I told him it was going to be painful. Logan, where are you? Where are you? Did I say that? Yeah. All right. I said it's going to be painful, but I'm going to pour into you. But he's going to answer, isn't he? We know that, you know. And it's, I mean, just really as a pastor, I'm going to be pouring into him. So we're excited about that. I'm excited what's before us. Let me tell you some of the things I'm excited about. We are planting a church in Lexington, as you know, and you may have forgotten. Let me remind you. We're the mother church of Commonwealth City Church. It meets on UK's campus. It meets in what used to be known as Baptist Student Union, BSU. It's no longer called that. It's called Baptist Campus Ministry, BCM. And they meet in their auditorium, their building, use their entire building for children's ministry, just like when we were mobile. And they're headed to two services. Andrew, my son, is pastor, as you know. They are already brought on a staff person, bringing on a third staff person already in that church. But here's what I'm excited about. I'm excited that we're going to be journeying with them through 2018, doing Lent together, doing Advent together, VBS together, submissions together. There's going to be times where Logan and our team and myself, we go to preach at the church in Lexington, and Andrew and his team come here. Now, we're not just going to do that once. We're going to do that several times throughout the year because we want our church plant to be visible to you. We want you to see it and feel it. And there's a lot of great stories that I could tell you out of their church already, and I really do want to tell them to you. That I might tell them to you, but I really want to not steal their thunder, so I'll go on to another subject and get off that. Some phenomenal ways in which the Lord has stories of salvation and restoration and all that's involved in that. So, and I'll just let Andrew and his team be able to tell you, but I want you to know I'm excited. I really am. I work better in chaos than I do in structure anyway. And it's pretty chaotic. There's a whole lot of transition going on in our church, but I'm not afraid of it. I'm not running from it, and we're moving on with it. So I want you to know that. Back in the fall, I put a series up of three things that really would give a picture of what life for me, like what church life was for me growing up. And I'm not saying it had to be that way for you, but I would say for a lot of you, it probably was. But I want you to see this because we're moving away from this. And maybe you remember in the fall when I brought this up. And I just want to chat about it for just a moment. When I was growing up, attendance was everything. It was how we ranked you. If you loved Jesus, you showed up on Sunday. If you really, really loved Jesus, you showed up on Sunday night. If you really, really, really loved Jesus, go ahead and finish it for me. All right, hang on. I'll see if you get this one. If you really, 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 really loved Jesus, you came to business meeting. Yeah. That's the way it was, wasn't it? I mean, I'm really not here to put it down. I'm just saying this is the way it was. Is this the way it was? It's all I knew. I mean, it's all I knew. I'm not saying it was right. I'm just saying it's what I knew. You were faithful to God if you were faithful in attendance, right? And remember, we gave out the Sunday school pens every year. And if you're on vacation and you went to Sunday school while he's on vacation, we counted that toward you not missing. And you remember that? So it was about attendance, and It had a legalistic side to it, meaning how much you loved Jesus or how faithful it was you were attending. I want to move away from that as a church, okay? Now, you're going, well, Brother Jeff doesn't want us there. That's not what I'm saying. We're going to get to that in a moment. The next thing was, in my growing up, and again, it's just for me, it was volunteering. But volunteering looked like this to me. I'm grabbing you by the arm, and I'm twisting your arm up behind your back to the nape of your neck to get you to say yes. You know, I think that was volunteering. Let me break it on down from behind the scenes a little bit. If you're behind the scenes with church business and organization, you had what was called a nominating committee. And a nominating committee would be put together around June. And your new Sunday school year started in October. So it was your job to fulfill all the positions of the church, Sunday school teachers and Women's Missionary Union and RAs and GAs and all that kind of stuff. And of course, I'm coming from a Baptist group. And so the nominating committee meets together, and they're working together. Now, do they get all these positions done in June and July? No. How about July and August? No. How about August and September? Because we got to bring it to the church in October, right? Maybe the last week of September, right before you turn it in October. I've literally seen people on nominated committee go down a hallway and just start saying, oh, hey, I bumped into you. Man, you'd be good at doing this. Well, you teach the 9 and 10-year-olds in Sunday school. There's not a prayerful attitude to it. It's not whether they can do it or not. It's just getting a warm body in a position and putting a name in a blank. Y'all understand what I'm talking about? And it, 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 even though we physically didn't grab you by the wrist and put your arm up behind your head, volunteering felt like that to me. It's just, we got these names, and whether they were gifted to do it or not, it really didn't matter. We don't do that here, but let me tell you, we're not going to do that here, okay? So if you're here thinking we're going to start doing that, no, we're not doing that. And then giving. Giving was just giving. It was, you're going to give to this. In fact, the truth is, we really didn't care if you were there or not, as long as your tithe got there. But if you went to church somewhere else, we counted it and you got the attendance pin, you know? You see how that flip-flops, you know? I mean, giving was just giving. It was just giving. But all of that together is like somebody walking through life hypnotized. I mean, it's not intentional. It can be coerced and forced. And you could be guilted into that. There's a lot of things that are involved in that. And in it, it's habit forming. It's just attend and volunteer and then give to it. Now, here's what we're going to switch it to. And we did this in the fall. We're going to switch it to celebrate. Here in a minute, we're going to switch it to that. There you go. Celebrate, serve, and invest. And you're going, hey, preacher, a name change isn't going to make the change. I know that. I know that. I agree with you. Just changing the name is not going to change it. But our teaching is going to change it. Because when we look at this, this is intentional. This has intentional purpose to it. It's not the living life hypnotized. It's not habit forming. It's going to be intentional. And I really believe the name change is going to help us break through some of our crusty thinking about how we follow the Lord and also about his kingdom principles. And let's start with celebrate. Celebrate what? We celebrate resurrection. We're here this morning to celebrate resurrection. Jesus rose on this day. And not only that, the early church started meeting together in a Pentecostal way. They started meeting at Pentecost. And so they did it to honor and celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Listen, I believe in the gathering. You need to know that. I do want you here. Don't go out here saying, well, preacher doesn't want us there. That's not true. I believe in the gathering. But not in a legalistic way to where it's a test of, are you faith? Are you faithful? Are you loyal? Are you in covenant relationship? It's not about that. I believe in the gathering in a necessary way. And what I mean by that is, I know about the resurrection of Jesus, and you do too. The resurrection of Jesus is not new to probably any of your ears in here. But I have to celebrate it because I live in a world where I need to be reminded that my hope is alive because Christ is alive. Because there is a world taking a bite out of me and you 6 days a week to absolutely denounce, renounce, to change our direction and everything else. I really believe in the gathering because it's a necessary gathering as far as I'm concerned, because you and I need to be reminded my hope is in Christ. And pardon my grammar, he ain't dead. You know, he's alive. And my hope is alive because Christ is alive. Whether I'm degreed or educated or whatever, I still need that reminder in my own life. You still need that reminder in your life. We gather this morning to celebrate resurrection, but also to be reminded that hope is still alive. We are here for that reason. We're also here to celebrate resurrection because, I'm going to just dive right into this. I'm going to get some pushback, okay, but I'm prepared for that. I'll remind you, I was on the debate team in college. I really didn't need to be on the debate team to debate, but nonetheless, I want us to stop thinking we're gathering together as sinners saved by grace. I want us to start gathering as the saints who have their faith and trust in Christ. In the New Testament, we're not referred to as sinners saved by grace. Paul refers to believers as saints. Now, this is a funny sidestep. After the service this morning, the early service, they started calling me Saint Jeffro. So somebody's already beat you to it if you're going to hit of that. Here's my point. I don't gather here in the name of Satan and his sin. And I don't want to look like the deceiver. I gather here as somebody who has experienced resurrection power in my own life. He's raised me from the dead. He's raised you from the dead. Let's celebrate resurrection while we're doing this. Remember, my hope is alive because Christ is alive. So we're not here as a bunch of sinners under Satan's power. We're here to celebrate the one who saved us. I want to look like the one who saved me. So we're gathering not as sinners. Can y'all tell I'm excited about 2018? All right. We're not here as sinners under Satan's power. We are here as saints who are honoring a resurrected Jesus, and I just want to be shaped to look like the one who saved me, not the one who tempts me with sin. You know, so we're here to celebrate the resurrection in him, and we gather. It's growing like Christ. I need the hope. Look at this. First Peter says it too. 1:3-4. Blessed is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to his great mercy. He has given us a new birth. This would be John 3. Be born again into a living hope. See that? Our hope is alive because Christ is alive through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And into an inheritance that is imperishable, uncorrupted, unfading, kept in heaven for you. So my hope is alive because Christ is alive. I know you love Jesus. I guarantee if I ask that to all of you, you'd say that you do. But there's a world out there that's absolutely chipping away at us. And you and I need a reminder. My faith and trust is in Christ. My hope is in Christ. My hope is alive because he's alive. I'm celebrating resurrection, and I need to be with the saints when I do it, you know? Now, you can do it privately and every day and with others. But I do believe in our gathering, but for that, not legalistically. Because we need the reminder, and we need to give him worship and praise. He's worthy of that for our lives. Let's go to the word serve. The word serve is often described as a picture of laboring, working, but it really is a picture of being active. It is never sitting and soaking, okay, or sulling, if you're Baptist. It is never that. It is always a picture of activity. And I want you to find a place to serve. But I don't want you to look for me to find it. I'm going to give you opportunities to serve. You will hear. In fact, I'll give you one at the end of the service. We'll give you two or three today of places to serve. And you'll hear that periodically through our church. But I don't want you to wait for me, is what I'm saying. Don't wait for me to announce something for you to be a part of. You need to pay attention to what God is bringing to you. What is he bringing to you? Now, you're going, okay, preacher, what's your role in that? Well, my role is to encourage you, number one. And then number two, my role is to equip you. I can help you cross T's and dot I's, and I can help you think through things, and there can be some organization skills given in that and all that. But I can equip you. I can help you. But don't wait for me to get to your place of service. The Lord will take you there. And as the Lord takes you there, you may come to me for help with that. And I'll help you. I'll help equip you with that. I'll even disciple you in that. But in that, look for what he's doing. What is he waking you up to? What is he putting around you? And there's a reason. You're going to feel like, well, I can't do it. Well, he knows you can't do it, and he will empower you to do it, and then he'll put others beside you to equip you and to encourage you to do that. Let me give you a four example. Let me use Justin and Ashley Ross out of our church. Now, some here know them well. Early service people don't know them near as well. But Justin and Ashley used to sit right here in this area, right in that area. So if you want to be called by God, sit in that area of the church. They had jobs, very mission-minded, very much so, talked about it, prayed about it. So it wasn't just a one-day thing that they came up with. This was the Lord's calling, his nudging, his preparing and all that. But one day, it did happen. And they sat in that area. They left here, went to their car. I think they were parked in one of the front rows here. And Justin said to Ashley, it's just time. It's just time. Now, they started Sparrow Missions. Many of you all have been on trips to Honduras with Sparrow Missions. And you're connected. We give to it. We coach. There's some things we did in the beginning of that. Encouragement, equipping that. They have their ministry to children. They have other ministries they've started, giving people jobs. They've started an academy, Sparrow Academy. They're doing a lot of things that involve their discipling kids. And I just heard this. I heard this from Jason just the other day, that they're sending three of their ones they've discipled and grown up to another country to be missionaries to another country. Now, the Lord did all that, but I didn't preach a sermon going, I think you need to start your own mission organization. I did not do that. But through our church and equipping and encouraging, they made that decision. We have helped them encourage and equip, but they did that. You see, now I'm not saying that's what all of you have to do. I'm just using Justin and Ashley as an example of that. God has called you. Don't wait for me to bring up and go, well, I'm not serving because Pastor Jeff hasn't brought up anything that I like to serve in. Right? Don't tell me you hadn't said that or thought it or talked about me about it with it. All right? Well, I'll serve, but I'm waiting for Brother Jeff to bring it up, something I want to serve in. Okay? All right, here's a new one. I need somebody to mow my yard this summer. Do you want to serve the Lord doing that? How's that sound to you? So the Lord will bring it to you. Pay attention to that. Pay attention to that. Danny, stop, will you? Pay attention to that. Serve the Lord. It's laboring. It's being active in that. It's finding your place. But don't wait for me to introduce it. I will help you in that. I will equip you. Look at Psalm 100, verse 2. You know this verse, but let me bring it to you. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Now, when I had volunteer, when I had attend, volunteer, and give up there, I really didn't see a whole lot of people serving the Lord with gladness. You know what I'm saying? It's, my gosh, I got to go to that. You know, la, 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 la. And we can church you to death. You know, I don't want to do that to you. You know that. Please know that in my heart. It's not about you being on campus all the time. It's just about you serving and to serve with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Listen. Now, I didn't revert, when I did this, I didn't revert back to my childhood, but I was reverting back to the childhood of my kids, all right? And while I was looking at this verse, this is how deep I am. I'm going to show you how deep I am. I got to thinking of Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, all right? Now, you tell me, why did I start thinking about Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs? I'm waiting. Whistle while you work. How many of y'all do that for Jesus? Huh? How many of y'all serve with saying, I love doing what I'm doing? I love serving him in this way. I'm excited. I'm giddy about it. He says, serve the Lord with gladness and come before him whistling like one of the dwarfs. Is that what it says? Serve him with gladness. You come before him and there's joyful singing. I'm excited about it. I am whistling while I serve. Tyra, is Jerry here?
Yeah,
I was just missing. That's okay. That confirms it. All right, where is he? Jerry, stand up. All right, I'm going to tell you something about Jerry Robinson. All right, Jerry is part of our staff here, and he helps with our kids' way and make things straight here, he and Jim. And Jim is this way too. Jim's more quiet. Jerry's not so quiet. Jerry sings and whistles, and I was in one of the buildings. He had this boom box, the old boom box, you know, like the, you know what I'm talking about? And it was blaring with Christian music. And Jerry, it's loud. I sneak in, do what I do, and leave. And Jerry, he doesn't even know I'm around, all right? And I hear him on the other, but he is dancing and singing and praising the Lord. Everywhere I run into Jerry is, am I telling the truth, Tyra?
Yeah.
He's always praising the Lord, happy to do what he needs to do. But Jerry prays over these buildings, the kids in these buildings. And he's praising the Lord over all that. Jerry, thank you for that. I love you for that. He's excited. He serves and he worships the Lord while he serves. And you're going, there is no way I'm going to do it. Let me hang on to you just a moment. Now, the Lord tells us in his word that when we give somebody thirsty water to drink, he says, you have given me water. They're naked without clothes. You've given them clothes. You've clothed me. Same thing about food, visiting in prison. If you visited them, you have visited me. I understand all that, but I'm going to give you a whole picture, a whole gospel picture of serve for a moment. I want you to see this. It doesn't say serve with gladness. Say it with me. It says serve the Lord with gladness. When you serve in any capacity in kingdom life, guess who you're serving? You are serving the Lord. You're serving the Lord. Some of us get aggravated because we're not recognized as much as somebody else or whatever. That's our junk. That's our woundedness. That's all that is. It says, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Look at this passage in Romans. Do not lack diligence, or it means be zealous. In fact, don't be lazy. It says, be fervent in spirit, and the word fervent means fire. It means let your spirit be on fire. And it doesn't say serve. It says serve the Lord. I want you to recognize that when you serve, this is a kingdom life, a kingdom principle. Whenever you're doing what you're doing in and through the church, ever what capacity it is, I want to wake you up and shake you out of your hypnotism and let you know you're not just serving people, which you are. You're serving the Lord when you do that. Do it with gladness. Do it with your spirit on fire. And don't be lazy about it. So we're going from volunteer, where I'm grabbing you by the arm and twisting your arm, making you say uncle, which I'm making you say volunteer. You know what I'm saying? I hated to see the nominating committee come around because I figured he was going to ask me to do something I didn't want to do, right? And I'm not telling you say yes to everything or just anything. I'm telling you pay attention to what the Lord's bringing you. Let me help equip you that, and then watch what happens with that. Okay, so don't wait for the church to start it. Pay attention to what the Lord's bringing you, and then we'll chat. I'll equip you and encourage you and let you help your own ministry in that. You see what I'm saying? It doesn't mean it's going to change everything in your life. It doesn't mean that. But you're serving the Lord. When you serve, you're serving the Lord, and we do it with gladness. We do it with diligence. We do it with our spirit, and we do it on fire. Look, the last one is invest. Now, I know what you're going to say here, because I've been in this conversation, as my dad used to say, 40, 11 times, all right? You're saying, hey, preacher, I know you're going to talk about giving and investing. You're going to be talking about money. Well, kind of. I'm going to talk about money a little bit. But you're going to say, well, I can tithe my talent and my time, okay? And I know that, I've heard that, but let me go ahead and steal your thunder. I've already got your talent and your time taken care of in Celebrate and Serve, all right? I've already got that. So if you celebrate and serve, I've got your talent and your time already wrapped up. That only leaves one thing for investing, and that's your treasure. We're talking about your treasure here. New tax laws are coming out 2018, and a lot of it is affected with us will be charitable contributions. Are y'all looking into that? Well, trust me, I am. And the key is you may not be able to deduct as much as you used to, even if you itemize your deductions or even what you give in into nonprofits. A lot of nonprofits that if I were to give you the names of them, they're expecting $1 million hits to come to them because the write-offs, even universities and sport groups in universities are not going to get the write-offs they got before, and so they're expecting people not to give. Now, here's the problem with that. If you will quit giving to the church because you're not going to get it written off, that already tells me that your giving was wrong to begin with. All right? So I don't give because I can deduct it. I give because I look like my Heavenly Father. All right? So some people are going and they're giving projections on how the church will be hit by that. And I don't know how we'll be hit by that. We'll find out. But I'm not telling you to give just in the form of habit of giving. I'm telling you to be intentional about investing into the kingdom, into the treasure. Look at Matthew 13, 44 through 46. Even if you're lying to me, tell me you remember this sermon back in the fall. Thank you. That's where I thought. Let me go ahead. It says, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure that's buried in a field that a man found and reburied. Then in his joy, he goes and sells everything he has and buys that field. So you got to understand, all his worldly goods he sells because that treasure is so valuable. And Jesus says, my kingdom is like that treasure. It's the most valuable thing you'll ever experience. Another little short story. The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant search to find pearls. When he found one priceless pearl, he went and sold everything he had and he bought it. And Jesus is saying that this man who found this one pearl is worth all of his worldly goods. He sold everything he had just to buy that one pearl. And Jesus says, my kingdom is like that pearl. My kingdom is like that treasure. Let me tell you something. When you learn what all he's done for you, and as 2018 comes, I'm going to teach you kingdom principles to live by. Kingdom living, kingdom principles, kingdom investment. It's worth more to me than Julie and my kids. It's worth more to me than any amount of money. You're going to find out that where your treasure is. And so this last one about investing is not as much about dollars as it is treasure. Because you'll never, some of you are building your treasure here. And Scripture, kingdom living, says don't do that. Build your kingdom there. Look at Matthew chapter 6, verse 20. But collect for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal. Listen, when my mom and dad died, they got their reward. And I know they did. I want them to have it. I think Tom died early, 31. But you know what? He got his reward. And you could say, well, man, he didn't have a whole lot of treasure. He only lived 31 years. Tom's whole life was a mission for Jesus. What we know about and what we found out about later. And guess what? Tom got his reward. His treasure was there. Some of you are going, oh, his treasure was Laura. Laura's not Tom's treasure. She's my daughter. She's valuable. But she's not as valuable as the kingdom. Hello? You with me? So we pay it forward. Because we're going to celebrate resurrection. We're going to live life. I'm a saint. I'm going to grow to look like the one who saved me. I'm going to serve him. I'm going to whistle while I work, or I'm going to jam with the jam box like Jerry does, or we're going to whistle whatever. We're just going to say glory like Denny down here or whatever. But we're going to serve the Lord with gladness, and I'm going to invest in the kingdom because it's the most valuable thing I've ever experienced in my life. I'm going to invest this. Where are my treasures going? I'm going to pay it forward. I'm going to pay it forward. My treasure's not here. It's not here. My treasure is in heaven, and I'm going to receive my reward someday. Look at Matthew 6, same chapter, different verse. But seek first the kingdom of God. Why? Because that's the most valuable thing there is. And all his righteousness and all these things will be provided for you. In fact, all these things are third on that list. Kingdom of God is first, his righteousness second, all that other stuff is third, if you're going to enumerate it. So we have to realize that it's just investing in kingdom life. And I'm going to do that. You're going to do that. We're going to learn to do it. Some of you are going to do it for the first time. But that's what 2018, that's where I'm going to lead you and pastor you and mentor you and disciple you and encourage you and equip you and all those things is living kingdom life. Look at 2 Timothy 1:2. We're going to rejoice here in this one, all right? Now, verse 11 talks about Paul being a preacher, an apostle, a herald of the gospel. And he says, because he's a preacher, he says, and that is why I suffer these things. But let this next series of statements be our statements today. But I am not ashamed, he means, of the gospel, because I know the one I have believed in, and I am persuaded that he is able to guard or keep that which has been entrusted to me until that day. So this kingdom life, I'm not ashamed of it. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus. I'm not ashamed of any of that. I know him. He's my shepherd. We'll go back, and Miles, go back to John 10, if you will. And in that, my sheep, he said, they hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. I give them eternal life. They will never perish ever, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. And I know he will keep me until that day. Amen? That's where we are. So I just want you to be prepared for 2018. I made you a promise in the fall. I'm going to mess you up, okay? I'm going to mess you up. I'm going to break into that old crusty thinking that you have. I'm going to meddle in your traditions that may just be empty rituals. Do you all hear me? In Isaiah, the Lord said to the prophet Isaiah, I hate your empty rituals. He said, they're empty. There's nothing to them whatsoever. And I'm going to teach you how to live a kingdom life. Some of you are going, well, our government's not funded. You know, because what are they? It's a shutdown or whatever. And it's shut down before. But I want to remind you something. I'm not the judge. I'm a preacher. But governments will not last forever. I just want you to know that. The church will last forever. Governments will rise and fall. But governments will not last forever. There's one day it's going to be shut down forever. To be no more. And it'll only be his people, those that he has in the grasp of his hand. And the question is not whether I can fall out of his grasp. The question is, am I in his grip? That's the question. Today, if you're not, we ask that you surrender your life to Christ today, to come. There'll be people in the altar who will minister to you and walk you through and a time of surrender to him, of confession of lordship to him. If you're here, you're a believer, we offer communion to you. The bread represents his body given. The drink represents his blood shed. I want to tell you this. I believe something happens at communion. I know symbolically that's his body, symbolically that's his blood, but I'm going to tell you, I believe something happens. When we're calling him Lord, we look for his return, all those things, but he asks us to remember his death. We celebrate his resurrection, but he asks us to remember what he's done for us. So take the bread, dip it into the drink, and before you eat it, remember his sacrifice and give thanks and eat. So the invitation is this: whosoever will, for whatever reason today, we ask you to come. Church, would you stand where you are? Counselors, would you find your spot? Logan's going to lead us. We ask that you respond. You come.